you guys love my new PowerPoint presentation. All right, free thinkers or deniers of God and truth. We're going to be studying about this during the next 2 weeks. We're going to go in depth into the realm of disbelief, disillusion, evil, deceit, and plain lies. Now, why did I decide to bring this study? I guess it's something the Lord placed in my heart for you guys. Why? Because you guys have told me on a week in and week out basis that you guys are dealing with atheists at school once and again. And one of the things I want to point out to you is that atheists are very good and very clever at bringing multiple arguments to the table and convoluting issues. What do I mean by convoluting issues? Well, we'll get into that in just a second. I've placed three pictures on the screen, which some of you might recognize who the man in the middle is. That's Charles Darwin. But if you guys notice, I drew two arrows to men on the left and on the right. Who is this man on the left? Richard Dawkins, which I told you guys to study last week about him and what he believes. He is one of the foremost preachers of this free thinker gospel, and a lot of people follow him. And to the right, we have an even more militant atheist by the name of Christopher Hitchens. How many of you guys have heard of these two individuals? Okay, well, you'll hear about them tonight for the first time. The reason that I placed two arrows from Charles Darwin to these two Brits, they are British. I don't know why that adds anything to the argument, but I just found it interesting, is because, believe it or not, atheism has a root in evolutionism. So you say, what? I'll show you. Let me start with this. A lot of atheists will tell you that Charles Darwin was an atheist. He was not. He was an agnostic. He believed in God, but he didn't believe in the God of the Bible. What do I mean by that? Agnosticism teaches that there's a force out there. You know, like Star Wars, may the force be with you, Luke. You know, that kind of thing. But it's an unknowable force. So therefore, he just says, I believe in a supreme ruler and a being, but he didn't believe in the God of the Bible like we do. The one true God. That's what Jesus says. All right. So we're going to make that connection tonight in this two-part series. Hopefully we can go two parts. I don't know if we can do that. It might go three. But trust me, you guys will find a lot of new stuff. And I'll give you guys arguments so that you guys can use and see some of their fallacies. Now, before we begin, let's give this a basic definition, a standard definition. Atheism is a noun. It's the doctrine or belief that there is no God. No God. Now, I place capital G because in most dictionaries, they will place that it's a small g, which is true. I'll give them credit for that. They don't believe in any deities except for themselves, but the doctrine of belief that there is no God. One of the things that you'll notice about atheists is that they say, no, we're atheists to everyone. We're atheists to everybody. But they specifically attack Christianity more than anyone else, and we'll get into that in just a second. The second definition, a lack of belief in the existence of God. Now, let me give you a brief history of the word. The word is a Greek word, ateos. Ateos, most of you recognize that in Spanish. Ateos. Now, the A of ateos, of atheism, meaning non, and theos, meaning God. That's the Greek definition. So when you put them together, the word comes from ateos, atheism, and it means non-existing God. No God. That's what it basically promotes. So there's the Greek word for you, atheos. All right? Now, let's go by the numbers here for a second. I've placed two maps here. I'll show you the other one in just a second. Atheism by the numbers. Most atheists would make you believe that atheism is growing by leaps and bounds. They will tell you atheism is one of the fastest growing, they don't call it belief. They're very careful not to call themselves a belief system, but I guess ideology, you might want to call it that. But yet, in a 2008 Gallup poll, I was very careful to use Gallup poll because Gallup, their polls are inclined leftist, if you know what I mean. But anyways, I used them because they were the more left out of all of them. I like Rasmussen. If you guys use polls, you know, if you guys are into that, use Rasmussen. Rasmussen is pretty even keel. 2008 Gallup poll about non-belief in the U.S. Now, this is a general term because they ask people different questions. They ask them, do you believe in God? Do you believe in the God? Do you have a belief in a higher power? You see, the questions were very, you know, they varied. But atheism, I want you guys to look at the numbers. Less than 6% said that, all of them said they were non-religious. Less than 6% said they were non-religious. Now, amongst that group are atheists. And guess how many atheists are in the United States? Well, as of 2008, 92,000. I'm sorry, 902,000. 902,000. That's small. That's a small number. Agnostic is a little more. 991,000. That's 0.5%. Atheist in the United States, 0.4%. That's less than half a percent. That's nothing. But you ask yourself and you say, how is it that they have such a strong voice? How come we've got such a huge fight, for example, in the Supreme Court to remove the words "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance? Why? How is it that they have such a strong voice in this country? We'll get into that in just a second. Now, Europe and Canada are, the numbers are a bit bigger. The Eurostat Eurobarometer poll in 2005 say that 18% in basically all across Europe don't believe in God. 18%, that's pretty much double, a little more than double of what we have here in the United States. Now, if you guys notice the blue numbers, the blue colors here on the United States map, you guys will notice that everything is color-coded. The map itself indicates belief in God compared to the stats that I'm giving you down here. Belief in God in the United States, if you guys notice, we're pretty much between 70 and 90% of people in states believing that there is a God. That's pretty big. Now, among that group, I want you guys to keep in mind that there are Catholics, right? Christians, evangelicals, they basically come in different branches. Evangelicals, Muslims, Judaists, Buddhists, Hindus, and everything in between. Because I keep hearing of religions that pop up almost on a daily basis, and I'm like, okay, this doesn't stop, you know? But anyways, so you guys can see that in the United States, we're pretty religious, if you guys know what I mean. Now, shift your eyes to Europe. Europe is really low. Europe, the most that you'll see here is 30%. And that's interesting because we've got the Vatican. We're talking about the Center for Catholicism in the middle of Italy. Okay? The Vatican, it's its own city, their own government. You would think that in Europe, Catholicism would be huge, and it's otherwise. So it's 30%. The most atheistic nations out of all of them are Sweden and Norway. Almost 80% of people in those countries don't believe in God. Sweden and Norway, the most atheistic nations in the world. Now, what does that have to do with our study? We'll get into that also. You guys will see after this series that atheism is the main cause for more human atrocities than any other belief system. How is that possible, Gio? Again, I'll show you. Let's take it step by step. Okay? Now, a true belief or an agenda? That's the question we have to ask ourselves tonight. What is it? Is it a true belief or an agenda? Most atheists will tell you, if you're a Christian, if you're a Catholic, if you're a Muslim, that you have an agenda. What is an agenda? Simply, I guess, a job to promote whatever it is that you're believing in. Okay? But most atheists claim that they simply want to spread the truth about the lack of evidence for any deity. Okay? But their real end game is to attack the God of the Bible. Here are some basic points that they will typically use when you get into some sort of a debate or argument with them. The God of the Old Testament is evil. That's key. I want you guys to keep that in mind. The God of the Old Testament is evil. They'll use other words interchangeably. But the God of the Old Testament is evil. This is what they say. Notice the absence of Jesus in that argument. Did you guys notice that? There's an absence of the New Testament and there's an absence of Old Testament. Of Jesus. They specifically guide their attacks on Old Testament writings. Why is that? We'll get into that. The second claim is that evolution is the best explanation for man's origins. How many of you guys have been taught in school that evolution is where all life comes from? You know, that we're all monkeys. We all come from monkeys. We're all primates instinctively. You know, if you go, you're basically an ape. That we all came from primordial soup. That everything was created by this huge explosion, which no one consequently saw, which we consequently don't have any evidence for, which we consequently don't know how the rocks came before, and that it defies all scientific law. How many of you guys have heard of Louis Pasteur? Pasteur? You guys should know about him because you drink pasteurized milk. That's where we get the term pasteurization from. Louis Pasteur, was a scientist. Yeah, absolutely. Look it up. Louis Pasteur came up with a very important law, and it is this: the law of biogenesis. How many of you guys have studied that at school? The law of biogenesis. Good. What does the law of biogenesis say? Anyone knows what the law of biogenesis says? Anyone? Cassandra.
You can't create matter where there is no matter.
Right. Life cannot come from something that is dead. So if that's a scientific law, therefore, evolution cannot stand on its own two legs. Because we keep going back. If the rocks, you know, the explosion happened, right? If the explosion happened, where did the rocks come from? No evolutionist has the answer. Well, it's because the latest explanation I've heard, and this is hilarious. This is not from me. This is from scientists. They say that life came from crystals. I'm not joking. That crystals, millions and billions of years ago, had sedimentary deposits on them that were walking the earth. Walking. Crystals were walking the earth. And that supposedly everything came out of that. Ladies and gentlemen, evolutionists can't even come to an agreement on how many years the earth has been around. Some say thousands, some say millions, some say billions, and there are a few that say trillions. Why can't they come to an agreement? And we'll get into that in a second. Now, the last claim that we'll study is, they claim that Christians lack reason and understanding, that we're stupid, that we're dumb, that we don't use our brain, we don't use our noggin, because we ignore the evidence, which we'll get into. But again, have you guys noticed that the three points that we've made here, it's an attack, it's an all-out war against Christians. And they basically call you dumb. That's what they're calling you. How many of you believe in Jesus? Raise your hand. If you believe in Jesus, they're calling you dumb. I think that would pretty much offend me, but think about it. So, we'll refute these arguments. Ooh, water. All right, myth number one. It is possible to be moral and value humans without a need to believe that God gives us value and morality. That's what they argue. That's their first myth. It is possible to be moral and value humans. In other words, to value your fellow man, to say, you know, you were made in God's image. So therefore, you have intrinsic value. You know, you're worth something. And it's possible to be moral, in other words, to have a set of beliefs that guide your life, right? You know, like, you will not steal, you will not covet your neighbor's possessions. You know, those kinds of things that we get from as early as Exodus chapter 20. Without a need to believe that God gives us value and morality. Atheists argue that you can be a moral person, a good person, without believing in God. How many of you guys saw the signs that were placed out in last Christmas? I think it was in Massachusetts, New York. It says, you didn't need God to be good. Just be good for goodness sake. That's what they said. Just be good for goodness sake. Not for God's sake, for goodness sake. Okay? Is that even possible? I have a question to ask each and every one of you, and I want you guys to answer if you guys really do believe this. Let me know. Is it possible to be moral without belief in God? Why, Laura? They're morally sound. I agree with you. Absolutely. You can be moral without the belief in God. Now, here's the key. Some of you are looking at me like, dang, I didn't know who's going to go down that avenue. Ladies and gentlemen, just because you don't believe in God doesn't mean that morals don't come from God. You see what I'm saying? You can be moral. You can value other people. But morals, values, principles come from Almighty God. What is it that our Declaration of Independence states? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed with all good Lord. Oh my goodness. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Wow. And you guys are in school. That's shocking. I need to stay at school with you and see what you guys are actually learning. What is it that your teachers are teaching you, for crying out loud? There was no such thing as a declaration. No such thing. So that's the first myth. But the answer that we're looking for in this first question is, where does morality come from? Where does it come from? You can't be a moral person without someone giving morality. Look, everything is created, correct? Everything is created. You can't see a plane and say, oh my, how that thing created itself. You can't say that, right? You can't look. Catherine, does anyone have a watch? Anyone has a watch? Okay, good. You can't sit there, even though it says Rolex on there or Tagger or whatever the case may be, or Casio, whatever the case may be. You can't sit there and say, my, this watch created itself. How beautiful. Obviously, that had a designer. What about moralities? What about value? What is it in me that goes to tell you, Salvador, I value you as a human being, I love you as a human being, and therefore I'm going to do what's best for you? Like Jesus says, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you truly love your neighbor, you're not going to covet what he has. If you truly love your neighbor, you're not going to covet his wife. You're not going to covet her husband. You're not going to take his possessions, her possessions, right? So where do we get that from? Where is it that moral values come from? Atheists don't have an answer. They say that simply evolution, since evolution happened through the billions of years, we learned how to take care of each other. Could you imagine? Monkeys? No, throw Rocky. You know? How do you get that? Think about it. Yes. Where does your conscience come from? Who gives you a conscience? See, that's the... I'm glad you bring that up, because evolutionists don't have an answer for the spiritual realm. How many of you guys have memories? Where does that come from? From your brain? You actually think your brain gives you memories? Like what?
Well, you make memories.
I'm sorry, I can't hear her. No, no, no. It's good. What was that? Hypothalamus. Guys, whatever your scientist teachers are telling you... Okay, I got another one. What about emotions? Where does it come from?
Your heart.
Your heart? From what? From the muscle? From the what? From your soul. Where does the soul come from? No. Where does your soul come from? There is no other explanation. But atheists don't believe that. Atheists believe in only... Pay attention. The atheists only believe in material. In other words, what I see is what you get. I see Catherine, and that's all I see. So when you die, it's over. You're just going to go into blackness. That's it. It's over. Right? Doesn't that kind of leave you with the question of, why was I created? Why am I here? What am I here for? What's my purpose in life? They can't argue. They can't answer that. They say, no, my purpose in life is to just simply live life. And after you live life, what happens to your life? What happens to your life? Right? You just live here, you do your time, and you die. That's almost cruel of God. If that's the truth, that's cruel. You bring me here. What if I'm born into a Muslim family and they kill me for something I don't believe? You can almost say, man, that's cruel of God to make me be born into that, right? Because there's no purpose in life. I'm not passing judgment on God. I'm taking the atheist side for a second. What kind of an argument is that?
This is
why I love atheists are so sweet. This is what I love about them. They you know what they say? Yeah, they are. You know what they say? They say, oh man, if God is so good, then why are there so many poor people in the world? Instead of looking at the real source, human beings. Human beings allow other people to be poor. Last I checked, Stalin killed millions upon millions, 15 million people. When he was a leader of Soviet Russia, killed people, starved them to death. Did you know that there are stories of women eating their children because Stalin did not give them food?
Oh my God.
But yet in your schools, they're teaching you that Stalin was a good guy, that he was a revolutionary. Ladies and gentlemen, today I saw a documentary on Fidel Castro. You guys laugh. You guys laugh. Guys, that's my heritage, man. That's my heritage. Okay, you guys are laughing. The truth of the matter is, some of you guys are not Cuban, so you wouldn't understand. But I'm a Cuban. I've got Cuban blood running through me. My great-grandfather was killed in the revolution, tortured to death. His eyes were plucked out of his body. Left without, you know what, because of the revolution. My grandfather had to go identify his father's body at the age of 8 because of Fidel Castro. Because of Fidel Castro's regime. Today I was watching a documentary on Fidel Castro. He goes on and he says, nunca en la historia de Cuba ha habido tortura ni violación de ningunos hombres. There was one man that they went and interviewed. You know what they actually did to him? They buried him alive for 7 days because he did not agree with the revolution. A woman, they trapped her in jail for what was it? Almost 6 months? They didn't even give her change for when she had her period. Everything she had to go inside of a hole of a jail cell. They didn't let her bathe. This is Fidel Castro. This is the guy that Sean Penn says is great. You know, morons and stupid morons and idiots like Sean Penn offend me when they go to Hugo Chavez and they say, oh, this is the way that America should be. You don't know who Hugo Chavez is? Sean Penn? He's an actor. Let me give you guys a little buzz here, ladies and gentlemen. Most of the actors that you guys follow and love, most of them are all liberals and inclined towards the left side of things. But I'm getting sidetracked here. But this is one of the reasons. These are one of the things that atheism brings along. You guys don't know that. They don't teach you that in school. All right. Let's debunk this myth, shall we? Where does this all come from? Well, it all comes from Darwinian theory. Modern atheism's worldview concerning the human race is a byproduct of Darwin's view of man. Now, how many of you know how evolution came to be the theory? Went to the Galapagos Islands. Right, two finches, specific. And Darwin said, that finch has a red and yellow beak and blue hair. Okay. And that finch is a little bit bigger, and that one has a yellow and red beak, and it has yellow hair. Got it. That means that we all came from finches. Let me write that down. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you get from one point to another that we came from nothing to something? Someone raise your hand. Yes, Grace. Huh? Exactly. Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys have learned about macro and microevolution? Okay. Can you tell me what microevolution is? You guys are like, can you tell me? Huh? Microevolution teaches that we came from a common ancestor. This is point A, this is point B. Macroevolution is real. Macroevolution means that, for example, two dogs come together and they produce another species of dog. That's real. You see, we all reproduce, right? Man and woman come together and they give birth to a boy or a girl. You don't give birth to anything else. I hope not. You know, I hope not. According to Steven Spielberg, we can, but, you know. But this guy here, he had a very interesting theory. In order for him to explain away why evolution has so-called stopped, because, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to keep something in mind. Science teaches that unless something is observable and repeatable, it cannot become law. Keep that in mind. Science teaches, ask your teachers, science teaches that unless something can be observable and it can be repeatable in a laboratory, for example, or in the real world, it cannot be a law. Keep that in mind. If that's true, then why has evolution stopped? Ask your atheist friends that. Why has evolution stopped? I want you guys to take a quick view at what Darwin wrote in a book called The Descent of Man. How many of you guys have heard of that book, that work of Charles Darwin? Your atheist teachers and your evolutionary teachers will never get into that book. Why? Because of this little piece of information that you're going to read. Now, bear with me. With savages, the weak in body or mind are soon eliminated. With those that survive commonly exhibit a vigorous state of health. Survival of the fittest, right? That's what evolution teaches. We civilized men, on the other hand, do our utmost to check, in other words, stop, the process of elimination. We build asylums for the imbecile, the maimed, and the sick. Look at where Darwin is taking this. We institute poor laws, and our medical men exert the utmost skill to save the life of everyone to the last moment. There is reason to believe that vaccination has preserved thousands who from a weak constitution would formerly have succumbed to smallpox. Thus, the weak members of civilized societies propagate their kind. You guys see where he's going with this? No one who has attended to the breeding of domestic animals... What? Domestic animals? Will doubt that this must be highly injurious to the race of man. Okay? He's comparing me to a dog. It's comparing me to a cat. It is surprising how soon a want of care or care wrongly directed leads to the degeneration of a domestic race. But excepting in the case of man himself, hardly anyone is so ignorant as to allow his worst animals to breed. You know what he's saying about you guys? That the reason that we don't evolve is because we take care of the sick. That's what he's saying. Very interesting. And then he compares all of us to dogs, to cats. What's wrong with taking care of the sick? What's wrong with taking care of the poor? Isn't that a biblical mandate? But yet he says that because we keep these people alive, evolution, exactly, they keep going and then evolution slows down, we degenerate. One more paragraph. Pay attention to this part. This might sound very interesting to you guys because it might resonate with what Sarai taught 3 weeks ago. The aid which we feel impelled to give to the helpless is mainly an incidental result of the instinct of sympathy, which was originally acquired as part of the social instincts. What I told you guys, he can't explain where we get sympathy from. Help. Acquired as part of the social instincts, but subsequently rendered in the manner previously indicated, more tender and more widely diffused. Nor could we check our sympathy, even at the urging of hard reason, without deterioration in the noblest part of our nature. He's saying that your mind is more noble than your sympathy. The surgeon may harden himself whilst performing an operation, for he knows that he is acting for the good of his patient. But if we were intentionally to neglect the weak and helpless, it could be only for a contingent benefit with an overwhelming present evil. Did you guys just read what I read? He's saying that it could be for a contingent benefit, but the only way we get that benefit is by using evil. Ladies and gentlemen, atheists, agnostics have no way of being moral without there actually being morality given by God. If you are an atheist, if you're an agnostic, and if you don't look at God and say there is a God, you're as lost as the rest of them, as a person who is a Catholic, who is a Muslim, who is a Jew. You're as lost of all of them. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through me. This is from Charles Darwin, The Descent of Man, 1871, pages 168 through 169. Atheism does not value human beings. Agnosticism doesn't teach morals. It doesn't tell you where morals come from. As a matter of fact, atheism is responsible for more deaths than you can imagine. Evolution, natural selection of species, survival of the fittest, all creatures respond from each other. That's what evolution teaches. Atheism teaches all men are primates, encoded with the previously mentioned design for survival. Therefore, man is expendable. I put a list here. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Castro, Che Guevara, Marx, Lenin, etc. Did you guys know how many of these individual killed X amount of people? How many of you guys have heard of any of these? Hitler? How many of you guys have heard of Hitler? How many of you guys heard of the amount of Jews he killed? And that's Jews. We're not talking about Germans. He killed Germans and other people. We're in the millions. Stalin. I already told you about Stalin. Mussolini. Castro. Che Guevara. How many of you guys have seen your school friends wear the Che Guevara t-shirt? Did you know that Che Guevara killed in the 60s alone more than 14,000 men? And he wrote in one of his diaries that his deepest desire was to become a killing machine? And yet you've got some of your friends wearing Che Guevara t-shirts. You know what he called the black man? Indolent and stupid. And yet Jay-Z has the audacity to wear a Che Guevara t-shirt and say, I got like Che Guevara, I got my bling on. When Che Guevara said that in Cuba, there was no artistic expression because it was imperialism. And he called the black man indolent and stupid. And he's wearing a Che Guevara t-shirt. Pretty hypocritical, if you ask me. But you know what? I'm pretty sure that a guy like Jay-Z, as smart as Jay-Z, would have already known that. Or maybe he didn't. Maybe he's just as dumb as a regular Hollywood elite. You know what the Russians call those people? Useful idiots. That's what they call them. That's what Ruskies call them. Useful idiots. Why? Because they teach them from a young age, this is a real thing, communism. Atheism, this is the real deal. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. You know what all these people have in common, ladies and gentlemen? What do they have in common? They're all murderers. And where does it come from? Atheism. You know what Hitler believed? The same thing that Darwinism taught. Why do you think he wanted to eliminate the Jews? What do you think the term Uberman comes from? Hitler wanted a superior race, so he thought that he had to eliminate everyone else that was indolent and, you know, bad for the species. Che Guevara taught the same thing. Marx, Lenin, this is where all of this spawns. These two individuals, when you get a chance, study these two from good sources, not from Wikipedia or anything like that. Mark and Lenin, Wikipedia sucks. Marx and Lenin, those two were just evil to the core. But, you know, the originator of all of this, ladies and gentlemen, Karl Marx, because Lenin was a follower of Karl Marx. So keep that in mind.
So you're saying that Castro is atheist?
Absolutely. They don't believe, they don't... Ladies and gentlemen, atheists will tell you that these people on the screen were all Christians. Yet there's not one source that they can actually quote that tells you that they were Christians. All of them were atheists. They didn't believe in God. And look at what atheism did. I'm talking about millions upon millions of people that died under these regimes. And we currently have one going on now. Two, actually, South Korea and Fidel Castro. Oh, and now Che Guevara. I'm sorry, what's his name? Hugo Chavez. That's three. Aló, Fidel. Bienvenido. Bienvenidos a lo presidente. Adelita. You know, he starts singing. All of these guys, they all believe that the state is the God. The state, in other words, where you live, that area is God. There is no such thing as God. They are God. Okay? Now, contradiction alert. If morals aren't from God, then why are atrocities committed if it is possible to be an atheist and be morally responsible and value other humans at the same time? I agree with Laura. There are people that try to live, you know, fulfilling, morally sound lives. I understand that. But they still don't acknowledge, even if they're atheists, that the one who gave those morals and those principles and values is God. That was what's so different about our country. Our country teaches, our founders knew and understood that God was the one, the lawgiver. I am the lawgiver, you know. He was the divine lawgiver. So therefore, it doesn't match. If atheism is truly, you know, if morals truly come from atheism, then why has so much damage been caused? Now, let me explain something to you guys. Beware of the crusade monster. What is the crusade monster? Most of the time your teachers will tell you, Christians are responsible for millions of deaths. You need to say, explain yourself. You know what they say? Because they said, the crusades. Let me teach you guys a little something about the crusades. The crusades were led by, guess what church? The Catholic Church. The Catholics even killed Christians. That's right, true Christians. But yet, liberal professors want to put us and Catholics in the same boat. And Catholics and Christians don't go together. I can't stand when they put us in a hole. I can't stand when they say, Catholics and Christians, they're both the same thing. Think about it. The only difference is St. Mary and the guy that on crutches with the dog licking his wounds. But that, other from that, is pretty much the same. No. Catholics teach completely different doctrine than what we learn from Scripture. As a matter of fact, there are many contradictions within the Catholic Bible. Look for them. I don't have time to get into them. So beware of the Catholic, of the crusade monster. A lot of atheists love to use that argument. Okay? So, myth number one is busted. It is impossible to be moral and value humans at the same time without believing that God gives us value and morality. You can be a person that tries. I said that yes, you could be. You can try to be. But in the end of the day, you can't without God. Even if you're a Christian. See, that's where being a Christian has its advantages. Why? Well, because we understand we're not perfect. We understand that we've got weaknesses, but yet Jesus died for those weaknesses. So we're pretty much covered. While atheists, not so much. You know? All right, let's talk about the second and last myth for tonight. Ooh, nice. That's so cool, isn't it? Myth number two. Evolution is the best explanation for understanding where we come from and where we're going. We've pretty much gotten into that. And trust me, the myth is not, it's not that good. But let me give you guys a couple of key points so you guys can understand this. Since Darwin's publication of The Origin of Species, atheists, agnostics, skeptics, and ideological scientists have held on to the belief that the human race has a common ancestry from monkeys and primates. Now, here are three burning questions that I want you guys to ask your professors and your atheist friends. Which is the true missing link? You know how many missing links have been found? Dozens upon hundreds. and they can't even come to an agreement on which one is the real missing link. Let me talk to you about how many of you guys have heard about Dubois Java Man? Did you guys study about that, Dubois Java Man? Dubois Java Man in the 80s was a huge thing. Why? We found him. We found the transition fossil. It is there. Right?
Okay.
Dubois Java Man, the only problem with Dubois Java Man was two things. They didn't find the arms. They didn't find the feet. They just found the skeleton. If you guys have known something about fossils, you guys have studied in science, what happens when a fossil has been on the ground for hundreds of years? Don't sedimentary deposits attach itself? So therefore, there's deformation. Okay? Now, the Java Man, let me tell you something about the Java Man. Dubois failed to mention. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He failed to mention that just 15 meters away from where he found Java Man, there were remains of 9-year-old kids, that the skeleton that he found 15 meters away was exactly the same as the skeleton that he said, this is a Java Man. Oh, and here's the other thing. There was a video put out by PBS that says, we find that the hip is a bit weird. They say, here's the best explanation they can come up with it. The hip, the reason that the hip doesn't look like a human hip is because a dinosaur came and crushed the transitional ape in the hip. So you see the scientist say, watch me recreate the hip. So he goes back and he creates his own skeleton. And he says, okay, this is the way it looks. It looks like a primate hip. And then all of a sudden, he takes a saw. And he goes, and he saws it down. And he says, there it is. It's a human hip. It's a real human. You see what happens? If your bones are crushed, if your bones are broken, there's no way for that bone to reattach itself unless you do what? Surgery and put it in a cast, because that bone cannot move. If not, it does not reattach. I don't think that thousands of years ago they had casts. Could you imagine? Huh? A stick? No, they can't. You can't. Unless you fuse them together. Think about this for a second. Can you imagine the monkeys walking? Trying to keep the legs straight. Come on. Java Man, Lucy. Lucy was known to be a pig's head. The latest one is Australopithecus. Australopithecus is the latest one. Here's the problem with Australopithecus. His knuckles show that he was a knuckle walker. What does that mean? Have you guys noticed that apes' fingers are a lot longer than ours? One of the things that the reason that they don't show you the hands and the feet in the museums is because they will clearly show that their hands are actually like this. You guys know how monkeys walk, like this. They're knuckle walkers. We don't walk with our knuckles. We walk with our feet. And typically, in wax sculptures in museums, they would put Australopithecus. You see him, that he's got the monkey resemblance, but then his hands or feet are human. I'd say, dude, that looks like a weird breed there. That looks like actually a monkey and a human had sex, and that's what they gave out. That's what that looks like. They never show you that because they were actual knuckle walkers. They never show you the hands. So that's not a true missing link. How old is the Earth? Thousands, millions, or billions of years old? They can't answer. Evolutionists can't come in an agreement. Some say 300,000 years old. Some say millions. Others say trillions. They can't prove it. See, at least we creationists, we come to an agreement. We pretty much say 6,000 to 7,000 years, because that's what the Bible tells us, according to biblical estimates. But even evolutionists can't come to an agreement. They say it could be trillions. We don't know. We really can't tell. And last, where is the evidence in the human genome that provides evolution is true, that proves evolution is true? I want to use this statement to finish so you guys can see the 99% argument. What is that 99% argument? Evolutionists and atheists would tell you that our DNA is exactly almost identical, the same as monkeys. That's why we come from them. And they say monkeys are identical to rats, almost identical to rats, and so on and so forth. Right? Here's the problem. Humans' genomes have been studied and dissected. The human genome has been so thoroughly studied that we know a lot. Let's put it on, not everything, a lot about what needs to be known. A monkey's genome, they have not even started to dissect it yet. But yet they say in the outward DNA structure, we're almost the same. Here's the problem. Do monkeys reason? Do monkeys have emotions? No. Do monkeys have feelings? Yes? Who said yes? Right. I can imagine. That would be hilarious. If you watch Planet of the Apes, that is not real, okay? Why do you think they always look for the skull? The skulls. Because they say that as time went on, the skulls got bigger because our brains got bigger. This 2-pound thing that we have in our heads, without it, you're gone. That's the same thing with our heart. But this thing right here, allows you to feel, senses. Think about this for a second. But the question still remains, where do emotions, value, where does that all come from? Think about that for a second. Monkeys don't know how to value. They'll attack each other. And atheists say, yeah, but humans attack each other. Humans attack each other because they're sinners, right? Monkeys attack each other because it's their instinct. You know, it's like lions. When they see that one is going to try to top the herd, they're going to defend it because that's their instinct. Let me ask you a question. If we're truly descendants of primates, then why is it that I can't get next to a gorilla and say, hey, buddy, how are you? The gorilla will simply look at you, throw a banana peel in your face and destroy you, crush you, right? Because that's what gorillas do. That's their instinct. Give them a banana, they'll be cool. But don't get in the cage. If you get in the cage, arrivederci, I will never see you again. Those things are nasty. Let's talk about the strength for a second. You know how much strength a chimpanzee has? A chimpanzee. I've heard of crazy guys taking chimpanzees to state fairs and giving $50 to a person who can hit the chimpanzee. I've read about it, guys. I'm not joking. This chimpanzee with one whack knocked people out cold. That's how strong chimpanzees are. So my question is, why didn't that aggressiveness transfer to us? Right? Testosterone. That's what men have. Men, a lot of people say that we men have that because and then we get all violent and whatnot, even though not today. There's a lot more fairy men out there. I don't want to fight, you know, that kind of thing. You know, they don't want to get into that. You know, I'm a lover, I'm not a fighter. You know, they don't want to get into that. But guys, think about this for a second. It doesn't match up. All of the evidence is contrary. All of the evidence is contrary to that. Now, so we find that in the end, myth number 2 is busted. Evolution isn't the best explanation for understanding where we come from and where we're going, the Bible is. The Bible tells you that you are wonderfully made by a creator who loves you in his image and in his likeness. Isn't that better than saying you're coming from monkeys? I think so. If God made me, I'd rather say that a loving God made me in his image and in his likeness rather than I came from some funny-looking animal. Funny-looking animal. Out of chance. Out of chance. Exactly. Out of chance. Out of chance. We were made in God's image and likeness. That's amazing. If that doesn't give you the opportunity to rejoice, I don't know what will. That God loves us enough, and he loves us enough to send his son Jesus to die for us. I mean, you gotta love that.